Good morning. My name is Steve Tomlinson. I'm the senior pastor of Shelter Rock Church. It is great to see you today, and what a great day it is. Last week, I was joking about what a beautiful day it was, and it was a miserable Sunday. Today is sweet, and I'm so glad that you came and made it a part of your beautiful Sunday morning to be a part of a church service. So last Sunday, I went to church like many of you did, and I, after church, went out to lunch, and after that, I thought I'd take a brief nap. Then I went out jogging. I come back into the house, and I look, and I see our recycling is a pile. It needs to go outside to the recycling container. So I thought, I'll hopeless to find one of my kids to do it. I'll do it myself. So I gather the recycling in a bucket, and I bring it out, and I dump it in the recycling bucket outside. And I go back in, there's more. So I decide to take that out too, and I take that recycling out. I go down to the garbage can, and then as I'm heading up the deck stairs to go back into my house, a swarm of yellow jackets comes and attacks me. And it was not a pleasant experience. Because I was jogging, I was wearing shorts, and so I am getting stung all over my legs. I run into the house. Michelle said I had the most unique dance that she's ever seen. I'm all over trying to get this. I brought six of them in with me. So while my legs are in deep pain, we are together trying to kill these six yellow jackets that have now invaded our home through fly swatters, through spray, whatever we could do. This was so inconvenient because I had so much work to do. So I sit at my computer and continue working on this paper that I'm working on. And as I'm working, my legs hurt, but I'm finding myself getting itchy. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. So I keep working, and now I find myself, are my ears feeling pressure? Is my nose feeling pressure? I go upstairs to my bedroom, and I look at myself in the mirror. Honey, can you come up and look at me for a moment? Michelle comes up and she says, we're going to the hospital. And I'm like, no, this was not in my plan. And so we go to North Shore Hospital. I spend the night there. I am released at 10 o'clock in the morning after significant doses of Benadryl and whatever else they gave me. I was not a happy camper. But I'm here today and I'm okay. Well, I wasn't expecting that. But the bottom line, I'm still itchy where they stung me. But here, there's a moral to this story. All the kids are here. The next time, kids, your parents say to take out the recycling, you tell them, what about all those yellow jackets that stung Pastor Steve? Mom and Dad, don't you love me? To which, you parents, because you are wise, and you've realized that if Steve gives this illustration, I better do my homework. And you say, well, because I do love you, I inspected the route. There are no yellow jackets for you to fear. You can now, with confidence, take out the garbage and see what kind of response. Yeah, we're continuing our talk on relationships. We're doing a message series called Loving Me, Loving You. We're looking at just the whole dynamic of relationships. We began by looking at the marriage relationships, husbands to wives. And then we followed that up by looking at the relationship of parents to children. Today, we're going to be looking at kids to parents. And then in the upcoming weeks, we're going to look at the neighbor relationship and the relationship of friends. All in all, it comes down to this, though. If we do not have a healthy relationship with the Lord, our ability to relate to others is not going to be successful. It starts first with our relationship with the Lord, which is why we call this series Loving Me, Then Loving You. Before we go any further, why don't we open our time in prayer, shall we? And since we have kids, you guys know how to pray too. Let's prepare our hearts and pray to Jesus together, okay? Father, we thank you that we have the time now to study your word and to learn. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us to see and understand everything you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as has been mentioned, it is a family Sunday. We are glad that the kids are here, and I'm going to be speaking to the younger kids and I'm going to be speaking to the older kids, and let's face it, all of us in this room have been or are a kid at, you know, all our lives. So there's all kinds of wisdom that is before us that we can learn. Here's what I'd love for you to do, and kids, you can open your Bibles too. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 as we look at verse 18 and following. Now, if you're using one of our Bibles in any of under the seats, it's on page 1176. Page 1176, it's a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the churches, and he starts off in verse 18 this way. Verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 5. He says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery." Pause for a moment. Whatever drug of choice you have, Paul says, don't get caught up in that, for that is just sensuous living or living to please yourself. But, to the contrary, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And you're saying, Pastor Steve, don't you have like last week's notes? Weren't you talking about this last week? And you were very good. You were listening. And yes, I am repeating it because in order for me to be the kind of kid that is the kind of kid that is respectful, loving to my parents, I have to deal with me first as a kid. And here's what the apostle says to us. He says it to all of us. Choose not to go down the path of things that are just to please yourself. Instead, choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you may wonder, how do I do that? And as a kid, you're thinking, how do I have God the Spirit live in me? Here's what Jesus said. You ask. You just say a simple prayer, Lord Jesus, would you give me your Holy Spirit in power? And here's what the Bible says. God will give it to you. And five things happen. It's noticeable in a grammatical term called a participle, but it's in these words that follow. When the Spirit of God resides in you, it changes what we say, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So the words that come out of my mouth, because I'm a Spirit-filled kid, are going to be impacted by God. Secondly, these next two words, singing and making melody, from my heart, which means that if I have the Spirit of God in me, it's affecting those emotions that are internal within me. It's actually changing what I feel inside. It's also expressing itself in the way that I care about others in ways that I didn't care before, giving thanks always in everything to God. My attitude is filled with gratitude. I am a thankful person. And finally, surprising word, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So I understand we all have different places in life. We all have different roles. But Christians show a submission one to another to reflect our respect one to another. So that is what a Spirit-filled person looks like. So that being our foundational statement for all our relationships, we now turn to the one for today. And if we look at chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, you might see this in your Bibles, or you might want to take out now your note sheet from the worship folder. This verse is there also, and it reads this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So, here is the first instruction to the kids in the room. It's this. Children, obey your parents. Now here are your first fill in the blanks. Why? Why should kids obey their parents? Well, I would encourage kids, you got a pencil in front of you, write these things down. They're good. Because the Lord desires it. In other words, God wants you to do it. And secondly, because it's the right thing to do. And you kind of know this already as a kid, that my parents probably have some advice, probably have some wisdom that I should know. Well, this is affirmed by God. He says, do it because I desire you to obey your parents. and do it because it is the right thing to do. Now, here's something that leaps off the page to me. The very fact that the Apostle Paul is saying, children, obey your parents, implies something. Paul is expecting kids to be reading their Bibles. He is not saying, parents, tell your kids that they need to obey you. No, God is saying directly to the kids, you need to obey your parents. He's speaking to them, which tells us, kids, we should be reading our Bibles. And if you're not too much of a reader yet, you should encourage your parents to read the Bible to you. Do you have a Bible? If you don't, ask your mom or dad, or ask one of your Sunday school teachers to see if they can get you a Bible. Because we want every kid to have an opportunity to hear from God's Word. But not only that, what we pick up from this is that God, in speaking to kids, He values kids. He wants them to have the best, so He speaks to kids directly. And the words He says are very straightforward, obey your parents. Now, how many of you do chores? Kids, raise your hand. How many of you have chores to do? Okay, what are the kind of chores you guys have to do? Anyone? Take out the garbage, my favorite as a kid. Anyone else? Oh, that's another one. That's a tough one. Good for you. Anyone else? Kids, what do chores you have to do? Oh, there's all kinds of them. Yeah, I see that. What we have before us, we have taking out the garbage, we have cleaning our room, we have all kinds of things. Now, does your mom and dad have any chores too that they need to do? Okay, let me ask the kids a different question. How many of you make money doing chores? Meaning you might get an allowance or they might pay you something. Any hands? Anyone get? Yeah, I see some hands. Make money. I mean, it's kind of cool. Take out the garbage. Here's $2. You do this, folding socks and underwear. This young man, you know, if you get any money for that, that'd be very cool. You know, that'd be neat. Well, let me ask you, do your mom and dad have chores that they need to do? How much do you pay your mom and dad to make your lunch? To feed you dinner? The reality is your mom and dad do it because they love you. Here is what the Apostle Paul says in another book he wrote called Colossians. He says this, children, obey your parents in everything. Now get this, because this pleases the Lord. It pleases God. So one of the coolest things, I tell you, your parents might faint. They come into your room and it's clean. They look to see if the garbage was taken out, and you already took it out. How cool would it be if the underwear and socks were folded without even being asked? Wow. And you know why you might want to do that? It makes God happy. It pleases God. And your parents happy too, I might add. But the Apostle Paul telling kids says, hey, pay attention. God is very pleased when we do those kinds of things. He likes to see it. Here's another reason why. Obeying your parents, this is your next fill-ins, is also common sense because they know more stuff. It's true. They've lived a little life. They know things that you don't know. And so as a kid, I think you know this already. Sometimes we doubt it. Sometimes we wonder if we should. But it's true. It's common sense to obey your parents because they do indeed know more stuff. Now, what are the kinds of things that are really hard to obey, that you really don't want to obey at all? I know for me, a tough one was doing my homework. So when my mother or father said, you need to do your homework, that was me. I was like, I could be outside playing, and instead I am doing this homework. Or the other one, which I had an experience with this week, taking out the garbage. I can't say I ever enjoyed taking out the garbage. And here I am, 55, I'm still taking out the garbage. You know, it feels like it can't get rid of this. Or this next one, and that is cleaning your room. You know, let's face it. We look at our rooms and we go, how could I possibly clean this? It's such a mess. Well, who made it a mess? Well, it just got that way. I didn't intend to. But these things are hard to do. But if you're doing it to please the Lord, then do it without being asked. I tell you, we parents, we think that is the greatest thing on the face of the earth when we see our kids do their chores, their responsibilities, without having to be asked. You know what it tells us, moms and dads? That you're growing up, that you're becoming mature, that you're becoming really smart, and we are impressed. But when it comes down to it, this is a great time of learning in your life. Remember what your parents do well, and remember what your parents don't do so well, because you may be a parent one day. Have you noticed that our parents make mistakes? Sometimes they get too angry. Sometimes they say the wrong words and have bad timing as to how they do it. Yeah, it happens. But there are other things your parents do really, really well. Be smart and take a few mental notes to yourself. In fact, you can even compliment them. Mom, Dad, when I saw you do this, I thought it was really cool. I thought that was really what a great parent is. But think to yourself, you know what? I want to remember to do that if I grow up and become a parent someday so I can learn what they did right. But sometimes our parents don't make always the right choice. And you may think to yourself, when I'm older, I'm not going to try not to get so angry like that. Or I'm going to try to do this. Because we can learn from our parents, both from their good stuff and from their bad stuff. That is the whole point of learning. Listen to what Solomon said in Proverbs. He said, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching, because they have things to convey to you that will be helpful." Here's another one that we believe may have been written by Solomon. It's called The Preacher, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." So I want to speak to the young kids right now, the little kids. This is a really great time of your life. Now, you may be thinking, I can't wait till I grow up. And that's true. It's going to be fun when you grow up, but there's so many great things that you can experience right now. But here's what Solomon says. Even when you're a kid, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. You can do that. Now, what are things that kids can do better than grown-ups? Anyone? What can kids do better than grown-ups? That's excellent. In fact, I asked a lot of people this week, and a lot of people told me, yeah, I wish I had the imagination of my kids. I mean, when you're a kid, you could dream about going to other planets or visiting other lands. Kids have the greatest imaginations. Somebody in the first service said, video games. My parents are hopeless. And it's true. Kids get pretty good at video games. Here's another one that I heard from kids. They're not afraid to get dirty. There's puddles outside. Here's moms and dads. Oh, there's a big puddle here. We got to go around it. Now, here's our kids. Jump in the puddle. Have fun. Get messy. Kids are not afraid to get dirty. That's very cool. Here's another one kids are. They can often sing loudly. We grown-ups, we get embarrassed with our voices. But kids, they're going at it. They don't even think anything of it. They're enjoying the freedom of talking and singing. But if I am living as a kid to please the Lord, it got me thinking, what could be some things that I could do as a kid to please the Lord in a way that grown-ups can't? Here's one that my father used to use me for all the time. And that is, and I put these actually as fill in the blanks, kids can get into small places. Did you notice that? My father used to say, Steve, I lost my keys behind the couch. Can you go back there and get them? And I would squeeze in and get his keys. That's really cool. Did you think that there could be some things that you as a kid could do to serve God because God made you the way you are as a kid? Here's another one. And this is actually scientifically provable. Kids have better memories. They do. They remember things and they're good at memorizing. So, here's my suggestion as kids. How about memorizing some Bible verses? Parents, if your kid, son or daughter, asks, Mom, Dad, help me learn some verses, what would be good Bible verses for me to learn? Here's the truth. The verses my mother taught me as a child are the ones I remember the most. So I would have a nightmare, and I'd be scared. And my mother would sit down with me and she taught me John 14, verse 1, do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I remember her saying to me, this was Jesus' words for when you're scared. Don't let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I remembered it. I remember it to this day. As a kid, memorize Bible verses. Use the memory that God has given you, which is better than ours, to learn God's word. Here's another one. Kids make friends easier than we grown-ups. It's true. You put two kids in a playground, they don't even know each other. Before you know it, they're having adventures and all kinds of things together. We grown-ups, we get a little timid when it comes to meeting new people. What if you're in school and you see a new boy or girl who's coming to the school from another town, another school, and they're afraid? They don't know anyone. What if you were the friend to that kid? You could do something pleasing to God that you kids are uniquely good at. It comes down to this. Use your God-given gifts to please the Lord. Use your God-given gifts for how he made you to please the Lord. Now I want to switch to the older kids in the room. The ones that are here, kind of grudgingly maybe, not sure why they're in church, just dealing with it, you're a teenager. You're at that stage where you have all kinds of passions, all kinds of emotions, and you're not sure about a lot of things, but you feel very confident and you're being unsure. And here's what the Apostle Paul says to the older kids, the teenagers, the students. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. What does that mean? Here's your next fill-ins. To honor someone means to respect them. It means to value what they say. To respect them, to value what they say. Here's what Solomon recalls when he was growing up in David's household. We read this in Proverbs 4. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart, keep my commands, and you will live. So this is the wisdom that we've learned as grown-ups to those who are teenagers and students. We have lived a little life. We have learned some things. Solomon says, just like I learned from my father and mother, I would encourage you, learn from your parents. And there's a promise associated with this. This is what the apostle says, quoting Deuteronomy 5. So that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Now, is he saying that every kid who obeys their parents is going to be guaranteed a long life? No. What he's giving us is a wisdom principle, and that's your next fill-in. This is a wisdom principle that can literally change your life. So here's something I've done in our household. We're looking at the newspaper, and I'm reading the newspaper, and I read an article. It says, two teenagers killed in a car crash. I read the article, and what I expect, I see. And I bring my kids over and I say, read this article. So they look at it. And then I ask them a question. What time did the accident occur? And they look down and said, 1:30 a.m. Now, let's look at this article here. What time did the accident occur here? 12:50 a.m. What time did this accident occur? 2:05 a.m. Are you noticing a pattern? It seems that the most dangerous things that young people do is often after the time your parents said you need to be home. That's a wisdom principle. Here's what you're going to find out. Because your moms and dads have lived a little life, they know some good choices, and they know principles that will preserve your life and keep you safe. Keep these in mind. And so as we move forward, here's your next fill-in. Your parents are not perfect. We know that, but they have wisdom of years. Your parents are not perfect, but they have wisdom of years. You know, it's going to be 2 years, November 12th, that my dad passed away. It seems like it's every other day, at least, that I'm thinking to myself, oh, I wish I could call him up and ask his opinion. You know, it's a funny thing. When I was 17 years old, I didn't want his opinion on anything. But when you get older, you look back and you go, you know, I wish I could ask him this. I wish I could hear what he has to say about this particular topic. Your parents are not perfect, but they do have wisdom because they've lived a while. Here's another principle. It's your next fill-in. Your parents know more than you give them credit. Your parents know more than you give them credit. Let me ask you, when you're a teenager and you're thinking about dating or you're going on a date or something's happening on that date, do your parents have any knowledge whatsoever about dating? I see some, none. The very fact that you're alive means they have some knowledge on dating. Some minimal knowledge they have on dating. The truth is, your parents have lived through most of what you will encounter, which means they have some thoughts on the subject. But we have all these inhibitions as to why we would not want to ask them. I had a conversation with my son not too long ago, and I said, you know, just to remind you, your mom and dad, actually, we went on dates, and I have some thoughts on how to treat women, and she has some thoughts on how she would like to be treated as a woman. Ask us. We are actually a resource of information that can help you. So I understand the tensions and the anxieties about this. So I'm going to tell you a funny story that happened to me. It wasn't so funny at the time, but it's a real story that happened. As you folks know, I'm pretty open when I preach. I tell a lot of my mistakes. I tell perhaps too much information sometimes. So I'm now a preacher, and I'm serving in Illinois at a church. I am enjoying the opportunity to preach. And I felt, because of the subject nature of what I was talking about, I needed to talk about a bad mistake, a sin that I did when I was 16 years old. And so I'm sharing with the congregation that when I was 16, for the period of about 1 year, I stole adult magazines from a variety of drugstores. And after about a year, I realized, unless I bring this to light, I'll never stop. So I went to each store, told them that I think I stole 4 magazines from you, and I paid them back. For what I had done. And I was just talking in the sermon about needing to bring to light in order to quash things that are bad. So anyway, I told the story, and then I called my mom a few weeks ago. Hey, Mom, how are you doing? My mom lives in New York. I forgot that she was getting tapes sent to her from the church each week. And she brings up in the phone call, "That was very interesting what you said, what happened when you were 16 years old living in my house." And I turned ashen white if she had seen me, and I was like, "I didn't mean for you to hear that story." And here's what I learned. She totally understood. She knew what it was like to be a 16-year-old kid. She was 16. She knew a lot of those feelings, those emotions, those passions that I went through when I was 16. And what I learned in that conversation, as unnerving as it was at the time, is that my mother is a lot like me, and I'm a lot like my dad, and we have a commonality in life. Now, you may be thinking, there are some things I just can't talk about with my mother and father. I get that. But the truth is, give your mom and dad more credit. They deserve it. And that brings us to the next principle. And this one someone shared with me this week, and I thought it was so powerful. Your parents love you more than you realize. They love you more than you realize. Give more trust to the person who would lay down their life for you than the person who claims to know everything. Give more trust to the person who would lay down their life for you than the person who knows everything. See, today, we all know so much because we have phones, and we can look at any blog, and we look at any opinion, and we can look up stuff. But you know, if your parents have a different opinion than you're reading in your blog, I would give them the benefit of the doubt for this reason. If you needed a kidney, they would give it to you. That person on the blog, they don't know you. That person on the Tumblr account, they have no idea what you're going through. But your parents would give everything to protect and preserve you. Give them the benefit of the doubt that they're probably going to be pursuing your best interest more than anyone you will read on your phone or internet. Which brings me now to this last one. Our parents are not perfect. We talked about this. But your Heavenly Father is perfect. So look beyond the imperfections of your parents to Him. Your Heavenly Father is perfect. So look beyond the imperfections of your parents to Him. As I was again sharing with people what I was going to be talking about this week, a woman came to me and said, I'm glad you're bringing up this point. And she said her mother came to faith because of this verse you see on the screen here. It reads this way, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. You see, your mom and dad, they may blow it. They may be far less than perfect. But it doesn't change that your Heavenly Father is perfect. And if you're wondering how you should be when you grow up, be like our Heavenly Father. Hopefully, mom and dad will be close to the image of what our God the Father should be. They will not be on all areas. But we know this, God is perfect, and together we can learn from Him. And this is what we learn from God our Father, that He loved you so much that He was willing to give His Son, Jesus our Lord, to live among us, to die for your sin, for mine, to be raised to life so that we can have a good relationship with Him. That is what we call the gospel. That is the good news that our Father gives us. Would you pray with me? Father, You are good. And You help us to see the ideals. Our moms and dads, they let us down sometimes. Sometimes our anger gets overboard. Sometimes the advice we give is maybe not the best. But Lord, we see in You perfection. We see in You the one who gave everything that You could have a good relationship with us. I pray, Father, that You would now bring us to a place where we would see the beauty, the wonder of who You are, and seek to please You as we serve our families, as we serve our moms and dads, as we serve our kids, as we serve our friends. Toward this end, Lord, be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.